spending considerable time talking about heaven, and this morning we're going to hear a little bit more about heaven, and Jim Martin is going to come and share his experiences that he was part of during the COVID period. How many remember COVID period? That's getting to be a while ago, eh? Jim, would you come and share what God has laid on your heart? God bless you.
Amos 7:14 says, I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but a herdsman, a humble shepherd, a grower of figs, who was called by God to deliver a message. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, God says, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. Don't forget this one. I was born the youngest of 7 children, so hand-me-down clothes and the last to find out were normal for me. The first time I knew that my life was going to be kind of abnormal was when I was 4 years old. Now, growing up on the farm, doing your share of work was also normal, but going to task and helping your dad unload a load of hay bales was a bit too much for me. However, in trying to help shove a bale off the wagon, I was the one who went flying off. And I landed on the stone and I crushed my elbow. I knew something was not normal. Immediately I felt pain. Very sharp pain. And I cried a lot, like all the way to the hospital. I still remember that, and they had to keep me in the hospital for a few days. They put me in a crib. I was 4 years old. With this sling on my left arm, and it was held up high. All I wanted to do was go home. Mom and Dad took me to the toy room, said I could play with the new toys. Nope. I wanted to go home. So, waiting for my chance, I crawled out of my crib, walked out the door, looked both ways, and I ran down the hall. I was heading home. But a nurse had other plans. She saw me, and she came running out behind me. And she scooped me up, and she said, where do you think you're going, young man? And then with a kind of strong show of force, she patty-whacked me on my tush. And promptly put me back in the crib. I guess I was bad. Several weeks after I got home, the doctor called and said something was wrong. Get my nose mixed up here. And they took me back in the hospital. They re-broke my arm. And they put some pins in place, right here, still gone. And I still have my crooked arm. Never did get straight. So we moved around a lot, like 13 times in total. And the next part of my life happened on a farm near Brussels. I was 14 at the time, out of grade 8, and not allowed to further my education, as was most often the case under the Mennonite faith. So I was at home on the farm doing what farm work there was to be done. Our barn had a main corner structure that needed repairing. So while Dad was at work doing some custom eavesdropping, which he did a lot of, he had instructed us boys, my brother Mel and I, to go to our neighbor's backfield to the stone pile and bring up a bucket load of stones. So, it was November the 26th, coming right up for the anniversary, 1969. The ground was soft, but not frozen, a little fluffing of snow, but it was cold. I remember that day very well, because what happened next, few lived to tell the tale. So we walked. Taking the little 8M Ford. Here it is, in its purest form. My brother Mel went back to the stone pile, loaded up the stones, and promptly got stuck. That's fine. So we walked back home, told me what happened, and we decided to enlist the help of our neighbor's tractor, like a cousin to ours, the little gray Ferguson. Probably all know what those look like. That's right. And we went back with chain in hand, and we hooked up the chain to the tractor that was stuck, to the one that was going to do the pulling. I was on the Fergie, Mel was on the Ford. Chain around the Ford, around the front axle. Chain on the Fergie was on the lower link drawbar of the three-point hitch arms. But I just, on the tires, I had no traction, not enough to pull them up. So, we reattached the chain on the top link of the three-point hitch. Now let me tell you, that is not a good idea. Don't ever do this. I gently eased up on the clutch pedal, pulled the chain tight, but here's where things went drastically wrong. Very quickly, the front of the tractor came up off the ground. So I shoved down the clutch, and the tractor front end came back down to earth. Inexperienced as I was, I tried again. I'm being kind of hard on myself here, but I was dumb. I was stupid. It's not safe. Call it whatever. We tried again. Funny, but the same natural forces of gravity took over, and out comes the front end. This time, however, my foot slipped off when I shoved the clutch pedal. And in a matter of a split second, a tractor reared up on its gears and went totally upside down. Still running with me pinned between the left-hand fender, the steering wheel, and dash. And worse yet, yeah, gas was slowly oozing out of the tank. Mel stopped my tractor, but then he lost his mind. He freaked out. He tried his hardest. He was yanking back and forth, unhooked the chain. He didn't know what to do. He finally came back to me and said, he's going for help. be back as soon as I can. And I can still hear him yelling for help, running as fast as he could, and even our dog frantically barking all the way to our house. It was an hour later that help came. By that time, my face had turned blue from lack of oxygen, my breathing very labored, and I was totally drenched in gas. How I survived, I don't know, other than a miracle from God. They had sent three men out from the telephone office, and they lifted the back end of that tractor high enough off the ground so my mom could pull me out. They said later they had no idea how they were able to do this. This was definitely a God moment. Scary one for me. My life had passed before me while I was there waiting. I made many promises to God if he would get me out of this. He did. He was faithful. I was rushed in the back of a station wagon, no ambulance back then, to Lisco Hospital, where much to the doctor's amazement, I was still alive. I only had a broken collarbone and my left wrist. Truly amazing. Shook up, but alive, I eventually healed, mentally scarred, let me tell you, because it took me over a year to build up enough confidence just to drive a tractor again. And then only in low gear. What was next in store? Where was God? Listen, and you'll find out. In December 1964, this is backtracking a couple of years, I had accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And I still have that red Gideon Bible. How many have one of these given to me? There we go, all kinds. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Because in the back, I dated and wrote down the date that I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I remember my sins being forgiven, the load of guilt, the weight, the freeness that I felt, just wonderful as a 9-year-old. In my later years, I moved down into the Elmira area where I had worked at John Deere, and there I met the love of my life. Married her, and we had three wonderful children. Kim, who is here this morning, Michael, and Kathy, our youngest daughter. And in 1984, we moved to Katy, where we still reside today. I vowed I will never move around with my parents, like 13 times. That's another chapter. Since the last week of November has always been close to my heart, and especially so since it coincides with the next dramatic event in my life. That's why I wanted to share my story today. December 2020, COVID all around. Everything shut down. People getting sick, many dying. Who would be next? Well, remember my brother Mel I talked about earlier? He too had married Margaret, the one he loved. They had two boys, Chad and Jeff. Chad was fine, but Jeff was born with spina bifida. Big hole in his back. He was in a wheelchair all his life. Many surgeries and operations to close up that hole, and he was also paralyzed from his waist down. But Jeff learned to live his life his way, found a job too, and his brother Chad eventually found a girl in Nebraska. And here's where things really get interesting. In the week prior, Wednesday, to that wedding day, Saturday, Margaret, Mel's wife, was in an accident. Vehicle accident in Nebraska that claimed her life. Brutal reality, shocking, devastating, beyond words. Never was I at a wedding, they did go through with it, that was so eerily quiet, in disbelief, and a very strong undertone of sadness. Margaret was flown home, and she was buried in Ontario. Mel struggled much through this, and a year later, he quietly married Lucy. Over the next number of years, Chad and Marilyn had a family of four. Life was good for them in Nebraska. But then 15 years later, Lucy, Mel's second wife, died from a blood clot related to the cancer that she had. Mel was devastated again. Nobody, not even my wife, could console him. It seemed that God let Satan do with him whatever he wanted. No hedge of protection. A year went by, Mel married his third wife, Cher. But Mel had a hard time of letting go of some of the stuff of his previous wives. It became a big issue with his current marriage. Three months went on in their newly wedded life, and Jeff, you know, the guy with the spina bifida, he took sick, found out he had cancer, and in a few short months, he too died. And guess what? November. Yes, I said November. Where was God? Many questions unanswered. Took Mel for a big loop again. How is this possible? But there was more to come. COVID. Unfortunately, Nebraska was not spared from COVID, and many died. And Chad got COVID too. And due to an unknown underlying health condition, Chad was needing some procedure that required him being put out. He was put out by anesthetic. But he never came out of it. His brain went brain dead, and they pulled him off of life support, and he died. Now, Mel's family is all gone. And this is where my real story now begins. It took a long time getting to it, I'm sorry. But I thought it was kind of interesting. We went down and saw Mel and Sharon, as did many others, and unknown to us, but not surprisingly, Marilyn and I both got COVID down there that night. She got the mild version, and I got the severe strain. Marilyn and I quickly found out the difference between the two. She was mildly sick, but I got the bad. If I remember right, I lost 24 pounds in 2 weeks. Struggled to breathe, my lips were turning blue from lack of oxygen again, and as time went by, my family became very concerned, especially my son and wife, Carly, who were both in the medical field. I went down rapidly, lost my sense of taste, smell, very weak. My health deteriorated to the point that my family doctor and the special nurse assigned to me called every day. Finally, Mike had enough, and he called the ambulance. They took me into ER, where I was hooked up to a lot of monitors. The doctor finally came in, all dressed in a spacesuit, you know, trying to protect myself. And closed the door, and backed up into the corner. And said, "Looks like your vitals are all fine." I said, she said, "There's nothing more that we can do at this stage." But I said, "But I can't breathe. Can't you do something?" "No, I was sent home to die. They even cleared the hallways ahead of me as I was leaving. I was so contagious." Marilyn was waiting outside in the car, not allowed to come in, and she took me home. It was the next Saturday night that changed my life. I had come downstairs to use the bathroom, and struggling to get my breath, I laid down on the couch. It was then that I blacked out, and I was gone. I was gone for 2 hours. I was unconscious, and here's what happened and what I saw. An angel whisked me to heaven. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, I stood there. I looked around, confused, at first not knowing where I was. Then it slowly dawned on me. This was the beginning of eternity for me? And heaven? I focused in on the city walls I saw ahead of me, and a path leading up to the city gate, which I clearly noticed was closed. Wait, closed? I didn't get it. I also noticed a mist or a stream, maybe fog, oozing or emanating from the ground, partly blocking my view of the path. It felt eerie, silent, yet intriguing as I took it all in. As I pondered the scene all around me, I saw brilliant lights were flowing out over the sky, over the city. Everything was lit up, no darkness. I heard nothing, I saw no one. It felt so silent, very silent. As far as I could see, to my left and to my right were high walls. They just went on and on. I had no idea if I was standing or sitting or lying down, but I do know I was just there. I reached for my camera. I love taking photography. I didn't have my camera along. So I searched for my pencil and paper. I thought, that's the next best thing. I won't remember all this. I need to write this all down. But I had no pencil and paper either. I was bone, empty, nothing. That's how we are. It was then that I heard a voice clearly speaking to me. So I looked around to see where it came from. And then I realized that it was an angel. And the angel was speaking to me. I froze and I listened for more. The angel said, you won't need that camera, your pencil and paper up here. I brought you here to give you a message, so heads up. Listen carefully. And remember, you will not remember all that you see up here, but I'm giving you special ability to remember just enough what's important to take back to Earth. I go, take back to Earth. All I did was listen to the voice. It continued. It was clear and to the point. When you get back to Earth, to your family, to your friends, to your Christians, people, whoever you meet, this is the message you need to share. Number one, make much of the blood of Jesus. Remember, he died for your sins. Without that, we have no hope. Number two, get ready. Because I'm coming back soon. Yeah, I've always believed that. I get that. And then number three, strengthen the four corners. Then the angel, the voice was quiet. What now? What's next? I looked around. No angel, I was all by myself again. But then the most amazing thing happened. It was not magical, it wasn't mysterious, it wasn't mundane. But miraculously, God opened up the heavens and amazing cloud formations appeared in the sky all around me. And I heard music. Gospel music, country music, heavenly music, in the clouds all around. My favorite gospel quartets and country artists sang my favorite songs for me. It was confirmation from God. And they took turns singing. I was the audience of one, but I enjoyed every moment. They repeated this over and over. What a special time that was. The acoustics were out of this world. I was. There. It was heavenly music at its best. And I recognize the Inspirations, the Statler Brothers, the Lulin Brothers, the Cathedral Quartet, the Florida Boys, the Watchmen, Gospel Echoes, just to name a few. They were all out there. And for 2 hours, for almost 2 hours, this went on, and then it stopped. Silence again. Words cannot really describe what I saw and heard that day, but it was so precious. Now, maybe that's not what you were expecting to hear, Don, I don't know, but this is what I experienced, this is my story, this is what I experienced. I woke up shivering, literally shaking, all soaked in sweat. Took me a while to sit up because I was so weak. Then I heard Marilyn coming down the steps. And she said to me, what happened to you? She said, you're as white as a ghost. I said, well, you will not believe what I just went through. She sat on the couch beside me, and I told her my story. We hugged each other. We cried. We held each other close. We took it all in. It was such a good moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I slowly got better. Later, I had 2 blood clots in my lungs, so I was down for another 6 weeks. But something bothered me. The last point of the message, I could not understand. I searched the Bible, the internet, I talked to pastors and teachers. Nobody could tell me what strength in the four corners meant. So I prayed for wisdom, for guidance, for a path forward to an answer. And 13 months later, I had another angel moment. A visit in the middle of the night who gave me the answer I was searching for. This time, right away, I got up, I got my pencil and paper, and I wrote it down on the kitchen table. I figured this to be that important. The four corners are foundational truths or guides of our Christian living. Number one is faith. You gotta have faith in God. Without a belief, you gotta maintain that faith. Make much of the blood, never give up, love life, and above all, be thankful. Be thankful. Number two, family, another F. 4 F's are the foundational. Faith, family. Love your family. Appreciate them. Hold them tight. Hold them close. Love them dearly. Cherish them. They are your lasting possession. God designed the family circle. And there's an old saying that goes, as a family, so the church. As a church, so the nation. Number three, finances. Watch your finances. Be careful. Stay out of debt. It will eat you up. Learn to share, give willingly, and learn to save. Number four is food. What's food got to do with it? A lot. It's important what you eat. Have healthy, wholesome food. Learn to fast and pray. And there's a dual meaning to this one. Feed your soul a balanced spiritual diet, because without it, you will die. So, God can use you if you are willing to obey. I kind of feel now that I've done my part in sharing this morning, and I just want to say this yet. Jesus is coming soon. The clock stands at 3 minutes to midnight. Are you ready? Let me conclude. In a summary, it was November of 2020, with COVID all around, that I contacted this deadly virus, got sick and bedbound. For days I thought I would die. High fever, short of breath and such. Even a short stay in the ER with no taste or smell even lost my touch. Then one night this happened. I was on the couch trying to sleep. That an angel took me to the heavenly world and for 2 hours I saw things that made me weep. In a blink of an eye, I was gone to a place I had never been. I was left there all by myself, but then quickly took in the scene. I saw before me these golden gates in all their splendor fair. A bluish, hazy mist arose up through the gates and in the air. I saw this great big city, and I noticed the iron gates not open. So I knew I would not enter, because the angel voice had spoken. I looked around, somewhat bewildered. My camera, or I need to write this down. So I searched for pencil and paper, but there was none to be found. Then I heard that angel voice again. Quickly turned around to see who the angel was talking to, and I realized that it was me. I shuddered and froze, but I listened to what the angel had to say. The message I heard was very clear, so I bowed my head to pray. Hold down the fort, the angel said, and strengthen the four corners. This is not the time to be loafing around and be acting like some foreigner. Just as quickly, the voice was silent. But wait, I think I hear some songs. And I heard all my favorite country gospel, my specials, and they were singing them on and on. The cathedrals, the inspirations, and many others. Yes, the Statler brothers were there too. This was all so unbelievable, so surreal, so listen was all I could do. And oh, I love this one so much. The Wilburn brothers sang this song. Move up a little closer, climb higher up the mountain. I just felt like I belonged. With this confirmation from God, it brought a smile upon my face. And then I heard a rose among the thorns, then followed by Amazing Grace. There's more. Here come the inspirations again. I love to hear them sing. And they sang it just as I recalled it. Archie sang, "It's still the blood that cleanses from sin." And then it was all over, and the angel said, "Make much of the blood. Go home and tell your family and friends, and share with them God's love." I woke up in fear and amazement, my body all drenched in sweat. I was so weak I couldn't move, so I lay there shivering and wet. I finally got up and sat up on the couch. Then I realized this was more than a dream. My body shook and I started to cry. My God, what does this all mean? Today I'm alive and so thankful that God has spared my life. All this would not have been possible had it not been for my caring wife. So, life is good. God is great. Let Jesus be your friend. He will be with you all the way and will see you to the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I'm doing a funeral on Tuesday afternoon, and they gave me a list of songs that they want to play. And the last song before we leave the chapel, when we all get to heaven. Amen. Amen. I'm continuing to work my way through Dr. Jeremiah's book about heaven. I highly recommend it. Deals with a lot of questions, and I know books are expensive, but it's worth the read. Amen. How many have enjoyed being in church this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, as we take a few moments to sing another song of praise to you, Help us to rejoice in the knowledge that even as we suffer at times, even as we struggle with situations and circumstances, God, there's better days ahead. Thank you for the promise and the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. Amen. Music team.